Before we get to today's show, I'd like to hear from you. This show is nothing without our listeners, and we want to make sure we provide you with what you're looking for. Our mailbox is open to all suggestions. So if you have a topic you want to learn about or a guest you want to hear from, let us know by sending us an email to jagahealthandwellness@gmail.com. That's jagahealthandwellness@gmail.com. Now, enjoy the episode.
How did a small-town sheet metal mechanic come to build one of Canada's most iconic fishing lodges? I'm your host, Steve Nidzwicki, and you'll find out about that and a whole lot more on the Outdoor Journal Radio Network's newest podcast, Diaries of a Lodge Owner. But this podcast will be more than that. Every week on Diaries of a Lodge Owner, I'm going to introduce you to a ton of great people, share their stories of our trials, tribulations, and inspirations. Learn and have plenty of laughs along the way.
Meanwhile, we're sitting there bobbing along trying to figure out how to catch a bass. And we both decided one day we were going to be on television doing a fishing show.
My hands get sore a little bit when I'm reeling in all those bass in the summertime, but that's might be for more fishing than it was punching.
You so confidently you said, "Hey, Pat, have you ever eaten a drum?"
Find Diaries of a Lodge Owner now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
As the world gets louder and louder, the lessons of our natural world become harder and harder to hear, but they are still available to those who know where to listen. I'm Jerry Ouellette, and I was honored to serve as Ontario's Minister of Natural Resources. However, my journey into the woods didn't come from politics. Rather, it came from my time in the bush and a mushroom. In 2015, I was introduced to the birch-hungry fungus known as chaga, a tree conch with centuries of medicinal applications used by Indigenous peoples all over the globe. After nearly a decade of harvest, use, testimonials and research, my skepticism has faded to obsession, and I now spend my life dedicated to improving the lives of others through natural means. But that's not what the show is about. My pursuit of this strange mushroom and my passion for the outdoors has brought me to the places and around the people that are shaped by our natural world. On Outdoor Journal Radio's Under the Canopy podcast, I'm going to take you along with me to see the places, meet the people, that will help you find your outdoor passion and help you live a life close to nature and under the canopy. So join me today for another great episode, and hopefully we can inspire a few more people to live their lives under the canopy. Okay, thanks for joining us here at the Toronto Sportsman Show. And today we are dealing with Chad from Sioux College in Sault Ste. Marie to talk about a bunch of the programs they got there. Welcome to the program, Chad.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
No problem. It's great day. It's been really busy. It's nice to have all the people that we have down here. It's been a busy day today. We're recording on Saturday, and as part of the Outdoor Journal Network, it's great to see all the other podcasters here having a great time. And as a matter of fact, I happen to bring down one of my friends, the Premier, came on and did the show with Angelo and Pete, and they had a great time and it went over very well, so it's good to see. But Chad, tell us about your position with Sioux College, and people might be wondering why Under the Canopy is talking with Sioux College, but Chad's going to explain that.
Yes, thank you very much. So my official title at Sioux College is a natural environment technologist. In not so many words, I wear many different hats.
Okay.
So in order to have this position, I had the 2-year Fish and Wildlife Conservation Technician Program is what I graduated from.
Right.
And my main responsibilities is support for the faculty.
Okay.
So we do a lot of behind-the-scenes logistics. We do a lot of the gear getting ready for our field trips, for our field camps. We do all the transportation when our students are going into the field.
Right.
And one of the really fun parts we get to do is coming to events like the Toronto Sportsman Show and doing recruitment for potential students.
Right. So you come down to the GTA from Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.
That's correct.
And spend a few days down here and meeting students and prospective students to come up to the college and take the courses. So what is the Natural Environment Technologies courses, or what are some of the courses in there, and what kind of stuff do you teach, and why would somebody want to come up to the Sault to do that?
Excellent. Excellent question. If you love the outdoors, if you're passionate about fishing, hunting, camping, being in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, we are surrounded by Lake Superior. The St. Mary's River runs between Lake Superior and Lake Huron, and everything is right in our backyard. So if you love the outdoors, you love fish and wildlife, you love forestry, you want to be a forest firefighter, all these types of natural environment positions or programs, Sault Ste. Marie, Sault College is one of the best places in the province for it.
Yeah, and as someone, my father, his family's from Sault Ste. Marie, so I've got a lot of relatives in the Sault, as we call it, not Sault Lookout, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and I've spent a lot of time up in the Sault, so we're pretty familiar with a lot of the different things that go on up there, and it's a great spot to be. Very, very close to nature, right? You don't have to go too far, and you're outside in the bush right away. And a lot of people up there, they have cottages in southern Ontario, and they all call them camps in northern Ontario.
That's right.
Yeah, so camps are quite a bit different. So you mentioned, so what are some of the titles or the names of some of these courses that some of the students might take at your college?
Excellent. We now have 7 programs under the umbrella of the school, Natural Environment. Adventure Recreation and Parks Technician, right. Climate Change and Mitigation, Environmental Sustainability Analysis, Fish and Wildlife Conservation Technician, Forestry Technician Conservation, Natural Environment Technician, Natural Resource Environmental Law, and one of our other new programs that we're just starting is the Urban Ecosystem Technician.
Okay. So, like, what is the Adventure Recreation Tourism Program, or what's that all about? And okay, tell us about the program. What kind of courses do you take when you take that, and what do you learn when you're at this sort of thing?
This is like the ultimate extreme sports kind of outdoors program. For example, you get 11 different certifications, everything from ice climbing, rock climbing, canoeing, kayaking, stand-up paddleboard. The students are going out. They're going to do a winter camp. They do a survival winter camp. They do overnight canoe trips. They do fat biking, mountain biking. And then on top of that, they also learn in their first year all the different trees and shrubs, and animals and wildlife. So, for an example, they could get a job at Parks Ontario,
right,
where they could be an interpreter, where they take groups of people out as a guide, yep, showing them the different things in nature. Or you could be a whitewater rafting guide or a lake kayak guide, mm-hmm, for camping, fishing, all those types of things.
Yeah, we were just talking with Dave Brown before we went up here to the stage, where Dave's with the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, and he was saying very much that they're having difficulty getting a number of people applying compared to what it used to be for positions. So these are the sorts of jobs where, and this adventure recreational program that you have would be an ideal one to gain a lot of experience in that sort of stuff. So how do you get certified in ice climbing, or and what is fat biking? Is it for like the full figure male like myself we're talking about, or you know, what are we saying there?
So within the program, we have some very trained faculty.
Okay.
Lawrence Foster, he runs the program, and he used to actually be the cameraman for Man Tracker.
Okay.
And he used to design all the courses for the show Man Tracker.
Right.
And now he teaches at the college, and with his instruction, the students get those certifications under Sault College. Another thing, like, for example, fat biking is actually just a bike with fatter tires that you can ride in the wintertime. You can ride them all year long, but we have some world-class mountain biking facilities in the Sault. Hiawatha Parks is one of them.
Right.
And you can go in the wintertime or in the summer, and fat biking has become a huge winter sport. People will bike across lakes in the wintertime, and it's just another great reason to get out and get some activity in the winter.
Yeah, you know, and Chad, you talk about that, but I've actually seen the e-fat bikes.
Yes.
So electric fat bikes. Yeah, they've got them here at the show, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So you can use an electric bike.
Yes.
And actually still get out in a lot of the bush. And so are these designed for like skitter trails and stuff like that?
Actually, last year I was hunting and all of a sudden coming out of the bush was an older gentleman and he was riding a fat bike.
Oh, yeah.
So he used his fat bike to get in his tree stand and get out. What a perfect thing. Get in nice and quiet and...
Yeah,
and get back out again without disturbing anything too much.
And now a lot of people listening may not know what a skitter trail is. So, and you want to give a background on what a skitter trail is?
So skitter trails, that's mostly with the logging industry.
Yep.
And so we have the forestry program where our students learn everything from planting trees in our greenhouse to the final product, visiting some of the lumber mills that are in the Sioux.
Right.
So they see the whole spectrum of the logging and forestry industry. And a skitter trail is essentially a large machine that brings those logs out of the forest and will stage them at the road so that trucking, transportation can bring them to the mills where they'll get completed.
Yeah, so what happens basically, I used to run a cutter skitter operation for about 5 years. So, and you can use anything now. A lot of skitters back then, they've got these huge tires, and a lot of times, depending on the time of the year, they got chains on them, and they will open up pathways into the bush to be able to haul the logs out. And so these fat bikes, or even the e-fat bikes, can actually access a lot of the deep bush by using these skitter trails and going in and having a good look and getting around with quite a bit.
100%.
Yeah. So what other sorts of things? So you mentioned, I think there was, seven categories, classifications you get with that adventure recreation program?
Yeah, I think there's actually 11. Five of those would be what we call our outdoor certification program.
Okay.
All first-year students get a class in ATV, snowmobile, boating, chainsaw, and brush saw.
So and you go to school to have what a lot of people come to this sportsman show to do, to come out and pick up their equipment, their ATVs, and their everything else. So that's pretty interesting.
100%. It's one of the funnest things I get to teach. When you take a student out that's never driven an ATV before, and you teach them how to drive it properly, and then they got the biggest smile on their face. They go home. They can't wait to call mom and dad. And they'll say, hey, how was class today? We got to drive ATVs. That was our class today. Or we got to take boats on the St. Mary's River. That was our class today.
Right.
And to see the look in the students' faces after they've done some of those activities. These are tangible, practical skills that they're going to learn that help them be that much more employable when they hit the ground after graduation.
Yeah, especially with a lot. I know I worked with another college, a competitor of yours, in developing an outdoor certification program. And we looked at the outdoor... The American Guide Outdoor Guide Program Certification Program as being some of the basis. But what I'm seeing here is far beyond a lot of that sort of stuff, because these are the things when an outfitting camp wants to take people in, and you've got to, how do you boat and how do you, some of the basic things, ATV and all the rest of it, this is one of the great ways to be able to have somebody that has that hands-on experience.
100%. Just like the guys who were having the podcast before us, and you think of a fly-in fishing lodge, you get a student that can come up there and already knows how to drive a boat, can tinker with the motor if something goes wrong. They've had an ichthyology class where they've learned all the different species of fish. They're just ready to hit the ground and they're just that much more employable. Let's say a tree falls down while they're at the lodge. The lodge owner can say, hey, can you grab the chainsaw and buck up that tree for me? Not a problem. I've learned that at Sioux College and I'm confident and I know how to operate it safely.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So I know that NODO was establishing a new program because they had a lot of difficulty with first-time individuals going to remote camps. And they said one of the things they teach people is, how do you start a generator? And so what you're learning here at this college is some of those basics that would be able to be employable skills that could work in those outdoor fields.
Yeah.
What were some of the other, the climate change one? Tell us about the climate change course and how long are these courses? So the Adventure Rec one was how many years? 1 year, you mentioned
so,
1 year.
So actually all of our programs are 2 year diploma and some are 1 year postgraduate certificate.
Okay.
The Fish and Wildlife program that I took was 2 year program. And one of the neat things that a lot of our programs do, especially, for example, the Fish and Wildlife program, is we have a 2+2 pathway. So, for example, let's say you're dead set on being a wildlife biologist and you want to go to university.
Right.
We would encourage you, come and take a 2-year college program first.
Yes.
And then transfer to one of our partnership universities where you can take two-year university. Now you've got a diploma in 2 years and a degree in 2 years. So you have a diploma and a degree in 4 years rather than just one degree in 4 years.
So, and do you have a partnership with the university that does that, or is it all open to all universities?
We have a bunch. So we have direct partnership with Algoma University, Lakehead University, Lake Superior State University, which is right across the river in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan.
Right.
University of New Brunswick, University of Northern British Columbia, and Trent University. Yeah.
Right.
So, and a lot of our students that want to continue on, it's a great, great opportunity for them because, let's be honest, in the first 2 years of university, you're just trying to kind of figure things out. And university tuition, 30 grand as opposed to maybe 4 or 5 grand college tuition. So especially for mom and dad, when they're thinking about their child going off to school after high school, it's a much better cost saving. And you're gonna get that practical hands-on experience that the employers want to have right now.
Not only that, but you know, when you're trying to figure out, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? Is this the career path I want? Is it it's a lot cost effective to take the college program to determine that in the first place. Now this isn't for me.
Exactly. Right? And even within our programs, let's say you sign up for Fish and Wildlife and you're like, you know what, I like the outdoors, but I see what the Adventure Rec students are doing. I can just easily transfer over into that program. Right. And then if I decide after my 2 years of Adventure Rec, you know what, I still want to do the Fish and Wildlife, you can come back for a third year. Now you have 2 diplomas in 3 years.
Oh, very good.
And now you can, you know, marriage those 2 programs together to help you be more employable in the field.
And I see you have one of your colleagues joining us here. Brittany's joining us here along. And sitting beside Brittany is my mother, Rose, that have come to listen to the taping of the podcast. Now, Brittany, she is a professor. She teaches?
She's a support staff like myself. We're both natural environment technologists, but she does teach in some of our law programs. So being support staff, our main job is logistics and helping support the faculty, but we are allowed to do a bunch of different teaching. So Britt also helps me teaching with the chainsaw, ATV boating. Her and I will take the students out boating. And then she's also teaching some of our natural resource law programs.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Now, you mentioned the climate change program. I'm interested in that for a couple of reasons. Kind of give us some of the background. What's the course? How long is it? And how long is, like, what's the course load like? And how many hours are the students putting in this college on a weekly basis? Do you know?
That's a great question. So our climate change and mitigation program, as well as our urban ecosystem technician and the environmental sustainability analysis program, these are three pilot programs that we've started to expand.
Right.
We've had our 5 main programs for like quite a few years. And we realize that there's demand for other things out there with a lot of like urban regreening.
Okay.
You got an opportunity to be the urban ecosystem technician. Climate change, as we know, is a big one, especially even in our hometown of Sault Ste. Marie. We have a large steel plant. And even there at the steel plant, they're building a great big new arc energy furnace and getting away from some of the older fossil burning techniques. So the climate change program is analysis an opportunity for students to get in there and see what's happening in the world and do surveys and understand how much of the environment is being affected by the climate and what our environment and how our practices as humans on this earth is affecting the climate that we live in. So some really interesting stuff. And we're hoping to be here at the Toronto Sportsman Show and encourage more students to take that.
Yeah, I know my cousin Mary's husband actually works. He does the blast doors at Algoma. So he rebuilds because they produce steel there.
Yes.
And it's one of the few left around.
Yes.
Steel producing places. And yeah, he does all the blast doors. And he's about to retire, I think, this year because he's been there for quite a while. I think like 40 years. So it's been pretty good.
I've actually had the pleasure of being able to work in the steel plant. My story is a little bit different than some of our students as I came back to school at the age of 30.
Right.
I grew up on a farm not far from here. I got my trade as a welder because when I was leaving high school, everybody said, get your trade. So I went off, got my trade as a welder, but I always had this passion for the outdoors.
Right.
And so at the age of 30, my wife and I, we moved to the Sioux. And I took the Fish and Wildlife program. But because I was a welder and had my trade to fall back on, I was able to work while I was in school at the steel plant and was able to keep up my welding skill and help pay my way through college.
And now it's time for another testimonial for Chaga Health and Wellness. Okay, I'm here in Millbrook with Trevor, who had a great experience and wants to share it with us, with the skin cream, the Chaga skin cream. Trevor, tell us what you went through and how much you used, and go ahead.
I've had eczema on my arm since I was a little kid, and it's always been quite a rough patch there on my arm. And no lotion seemed to ever get it so that it was smooth.
Right.
But using the Chaga probably for 3 weeks, it feels like normal skin now.
Yeah, and how often did you put it on?
I put it on maybe once every other day. I didn't remember to do it every day. So, once every other day, one time a day.
Very good. And you had great results, and now it feels like
normal. It feels like normal skin again.
Very good. Yeah. And you didn't try anything else, so you figured that's what...
No, that was... It worked, so I'm sticking with that.
Very good. Well, thanks, Trevor, here in Millbrook.
Yeah.
Okay. We interrupt this program to bring you a special offer from Chaga Health and Wellness. If you've listened this far and you're still wondering about this strange mushroom that I keep talking about and whether you would benefit from it or not, I may have something of interest to you. To thank you for listening to the show, I'm going to make trying Chaga that much easier by giving you $1 off all our Chaga products at checkout. All you have to do is head over to our website, ChagaHealthAndWellness.com, place a few items in the cart, and check out with the code CANOPY, C-A-N-O-P-Y. If you're new to Chaga, I'd highly recommend the regular Chaga tea. This comes with 15 tea bags per package, and each bag gives you around 5 or 6 cups of tea. Hey, thanks for listening. Back to the episode. We interrupt this program to bring you the much-anticipated bonus code for Outdoor Journal's Radio Podcast Network giveaway. This week's code is CHAGA. That's capital C, capital H, capital A, capital G, capital A. Just type that in the bonus code section of the contest and receive 100 free entries towards a Garmin LiveScope Plus system. For those who aren't yet entered, what are you waiting for? Head over to fishincanada.com while you listen to the rest of the episode, click contest, and sign up for all the latest Fish in Canada giveaways. For next week's code, tune in to the Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast. Now, back to the episode.
So some of these programs that we're talking about, whether it's the Fish and Wildlife one or the Adventure Rec or the climate change aspects, are they programs that people can get employed in other jurisdictions as well? 100%. I know we just had Neil here from Ohio State.
Yes.
He comes up to pick up our Chaga product here at the Toronto Sportsman Show. He comes up, talks to us every year. And so are these sorts of programs that are available in other jurisdictions, whether it's other provinces or states as well, that people can potentially get employed in?
Yeah, the sky's the limit. We've had students get jobs all over Canada. One of my classmates from my year, she went on to go to Panama and study birds of paradise in Panama. Students have gone all over the world, all different sorts of organizations. Typically in the Sioux, we have a regional Department of Fisheries and Oceans office. Running out of there is the Sea Lamprey Control Center.
Right.
They employ a lot of our students. Like I was saying earlier, they want students that are experienced, have that practical knowledge, and are ready to hit the ground running. A lot of our students go to the Ministry of Natural Resources, become fisheries techs, or do broad-scale monitoring programs. And now we're seeing there's a big demand even from the private sector in terms of working for environmental consultation firms. Let's say there's an urban building coming up, but they have to do environmental assessments first. And you're going to send in people that have the knowledge and the skill to do the surveys to find if there's species at risk, like Jefferson salamander or wood turtles. They find that stuff there. Oh, hold up the building. We've got to do some more assessments before we can start doing that. So there's a huge demand for our students all across all across the world, really. And one really exciting thing I'd like to share with you is we spent the last year getting an Eco-Canada accreditation. What that means is we met and surpassed industry standards in what we're teaching at the college to our students. So when our students graduate, they're graduating with an accreditation that is recognized across the country, and that's something the students can put in their back pocket as a little extra accreditation or bonus that shows that we've reached the standard of learning and education that is industry and above standard.
Very good. Really exciting. Congratulations.
For us. A lot of our faculty worked on that, and as a whole crew, we worked together. And when the people came to do the site visit, they were just blown away with our equipment, our facilities. And
that's great.
It was really great awesome.
Congratulations on that. Now, you mentioned about wood turtles. I got to tell you, I was, you know where Search Mount is?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a road leading out of Search Mount that heads north.
Yeah.
And the grader was on there, and I stopped to talk to the grader driver, and he was telling me that he had to finish all his grading within the next week and couldn't do any road grading anymore because of the wood turtles crossing, potentially crossing the road in order to do their nesting.
Yes.
Which was, to me, I was quite surprised. I don't think I've ever seen a wood turtle there, but they're basically, they live in the forest.
Yes.
And this is where they do a lot of their nesting is in the spring. I think this was about June, May, June sort of time frame.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, that he had to have his grading done because it didn't want to interfere with the wood turtle nestings along the roadway, which is rather interesting. I found it surprising.
There's some, and that's why some of these species are at risk, is due to the illegal animal trade and things like that. They're highly coveted, right? Highly prized animals. And so we've done surveys and things on that, but we don't give out those locations for that reason. We want to make sure that those populations are healthy and growing,
right?
And that they're not getting illegally harvested and put into the reptile trade and things like that.
So wood turtles, one of those?
Wood turtles is one of the biggest.
Really? I had no idea.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I posted on Facebook, there was one there, they were talking about duct tape, and we're heading up near Kinmount, Ontario. And we're heading on the highway, and I look over, and there was this strange-looking turtle on the road. It wasn't a painted or it wasn't a snapping turtle or anything. So I pulled over to the side of the road, and somebody had clipped a map turtle. And you can see the shell was broken.
Yeah.
So, believe it or not, I took duct tape, I taped the shell back together, and I released the turtle back into the environment and assumed that it was okay, but it was rather interesting. And that's probably one of the most unusual uses for duct tape that anybody ever want to see, fixing a turtle shell and releasing it back into the environment.
Excellent.
And you got a great fish hatchery in the Sioux as well.
Yep.
I know I've toured it quite a few times. I've had friends in there. Plus, they've got a great walk-through look at all the hatchery.
Yep. So there's one right in Sioux, Ontario. And then also our students get an opportunity to tour the Lake Superior State University Fish Hatchery, which is right across the river in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. That's always a highlight for the students.
Oh, yeah.
And there at that hatchery, they've been rearing Atlantic salmon, sturgeon, and then releasing them back into the St. Mary's River. And it's just been a really great partnership that we have there that the students get to go and see. And that's also a potential job, right? That's a potential employment opportunity for our fish and wildlife student to go and work in a fish hatchery. And usually every year, the local fish hatchery employs a couple students from our program.
And one of the interesting things I found in that hatchery, and they showed me, was the splake they used. Because they weren't just mixing splake or speckled lake trout, for those that don't know. They were actually using splake themselves and using those eggs to grow the splake from, because everybody thinks that splake are like mules and they don't reproduce, but they do.
That's right.
And so that was rather interesting. So there's something a lot of people haven't heard about, is the splake actually are not mules. They actually do reproduce.
And so, one of the bonus things I'll mention about the fish hatchery is we often get the ones that jump out,
right?
They leave them in the freezer for us, and then we'll pick them up for the college, and then we get to use those in our ichthyology classes.
Oh,
the students actually get to dissect those fish, and they'll do anatomy, like the previous podcast was talking about the swim bladder and some of the issues they were having with getting walleye from deep water and bringing them up. Well, our students will get an opportunity to dissect the fish and see all the different anatomy, and they'll get tested on it. And not only do they need to know the species, but they need to know all the parts of the anatomy as well.
Very good.
It's really cool.
So are these courses, are there part-time courses, or are there night courses, or are there online courses that people can take in those areas as well? Is that something available for somebody that says, well,
you know? All of our programs are in person, okay, and they're full time. We have a big emphasis on that experience aspect and the practical aspect. So you have to be there. You have to be on campus in order to do that.
Okay.
Like everybody else, we limped our way through the COVID times.
Yes.
But we were able to pull off all of our programs, all of our field trips by just adapting. So they, for that specific reason, they did some like high flex learning where they would do their lectures online or through MS Teams, but then we still conducted the field work out in the field. We had to change our operations, wearing masks and sanitizing and things like that. Yeah. But we were still able to bring the students into the field, and we didn't miss a beat. For those 2 years, our students still completed their second year fall field camp. They got all the things accomplished that they had to. They missed out on some of the after school curricular activities. Like, for example, when we go out for our field camp, we would usually stay out. During the COVID years, it was just day trips. So they missed out on sitting around the campfire and getting to know each other.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they still accomplished all the things that they needed to learn. So yeah, all of our programs are full-time, in-person. If you have a special circumstance, the college is very adapting. We can help you out, even if you have young children. Maybe you can't make it to classes. There's lots of resources for tutoring and things like that. We want to help you get through. We want to see you succeed. That's our number one goal, is see you succeed through our program and get a job after. And we're really willing to help in whichever way we can do that.
Well, that's very good. And I'm sure a lot of people want to make sure that the support around is available for somebody who's, you know, moving from, say, the GTA, like yeah. You mentioned some students down here that come up to the SU, that take the courses, and then they come back home down to the GTA. But some of the other, are you familiar with some of the curricular activities that go into the college? Like, it's not just about that. So if somebody's coming from the GTA and wants to go to the college, what other things can they get involved with, or what other programs are there?
Yeah. So I'll say we're here at the Sportsman Show promoting our natural environment programs, but we have hundreds of college programs. Culinary, our aviation program is one of the best in the province. Nursing is a really big one for us. Police foundations, we have a really good trades program.
Right.
So just like any other Ontario college, we have a plethora of programs that any students can take. And on top of that, we have really great athletics. Our men's team won the national championships 2 years ago in Texas. Our women's hockey team has won, I think they're undefeated the last 2 years, and they won the national championships. We're starting a football team.
Right.
So that's new, that's coming on. We have a baseball team. And then apart from that, we have all the regular intramural sports, residents and our gym. We have a fairly new athletic center with top of the line workout equipment and gym. We have a huge cafeteria with a bunch of different eateries in there.
Right.
So you're going to live the whole college experience.
So, and I'm not sure if you're familiar, Chad, but are you familiar with the hockey team, the men's hockey team at all? Do they play in the NCAA loop?
Yes. So it's like a couple steps below that. So they're playing more D3 and D2 teams.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know that because our son, Garrett,
yes,
who's working the show here with us, he was actually offered by the coach from the Sioux to come up to the Sioux to play for their team because he was at an NCAA scouting tournament in Michigan and got approached about it.
Excellent.
Yeah, because he did actually pretty good. And that time, at that tournament, the Sioux offered him, and then he was asked by the league to play on the Canadian team at a tournament in Vegas and then got offered Fresno State and a couple of other places.
Excellent.
But these are some of the ways that students can get exposure if 100%. They're playing hockey. You know, you got something that's D2, D3, NCAA loops that get them exposure that way as well, as part of the excitement of being not only getting to go learn how to drive an ATV or a snow machine
right.
or cut the bush with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
These are some of the other options that keep them busy. So that's good.
Yeah, it's great seeing student athletes. And typically, they're always the best students anyways. They have a passion for their program and they have a passion for their sport. And they have that discipline, so they're always working really hard for that. And then it's really fun for us if we have a student athlete that's in the forestry or fish and wildlife program. You know, they come back from, hey, how'd you guys do? Oh, yeah, we won. Okay, great. Great job. We're cheering for you, you know.
Good.
So, and they'll have home games and we'll go out and support their home games. And yeah, it's just that's one thing I can say about Sioux College is that we are a really great community. We care for each other.
Right.
We look after each other. We're a smaller campus. So you're going to have less students in your class and you're going to have a better student to faculty ratio. And you're going to get to know your friends. You're going to get to know the faculty. We're there to help you out. And we're just, I always like to say when I come see a new student, to let them know that they are loved and they belong.
Right.
And that you can do anything if you put your mind to it. And if you're passionate about something, you'll find a way.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for people to get involved. You mentioned a number of the courses. Why don't you just run over the courses again that you've got with the natural environment that you were talking about?
Yeah, so our seven programs that we offer, Adventure Rec, Recreation and Parks Technician, Climate Change Mitigation, Environmental Sustainability Analysis, Fish and Wildlife Tech Conservation Technician, my favorite, that's what I graduated from, Forestry Technician Conservation, Natural Environment Technician and Conservation Management, Natural Resources Environmental Law Inspection Enforcement, and then finally, last but not least, the Urban Ecosystem Technician.
Well, thanks very much, Chad, for taking the time to be on the podcast today.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity for, you know, we talk about a lot of the stuff regarding the outdoors and under the canopy. That's the title of our podcast here on the Outdoor Journal Radio Network. And it's a great spot, but this is an opportunity where somebody wants to get employed in it. They can come, they can look at the courses, they can talk to you people. How do people get in touch with you and how do they find out more? Where can they locate you?
Excellent. So you can look us up online at Sioux College and see a lot of the information there. If you're interested, you can contact student recruitment at siouxcollege.ca. That's student recruitment at siouxcollege.ca. And they'll get you signed up or registered, or they'll set you up with an on-campus tour. On April 6th this year, we have our annual spring open house. And that gives an opportunity for students, prospective students in any program to come and see what it looks like on campus, come with their parents, see residents, see the cafeteria, get to meet some of your professors. It's a really great opportunity. So if you go and look on the website, all the information is there for the open house. And then you can contact student recruitment at siouxcollege.ca and they'll get you all set up.
Well, thanks very much. And a little bit of a shout out to one of the guys when I was minister was Al Payette. Al Payette's from the Sioux. He's still up there along with Norris and all the rest of his family. Great guy in the Sioux, hockey player. He played for the Greyhounds. Okay. He wore an A or a C, and then he went to the Oakland Seals afterwards. A lot of great opportunities up there. I got a lot of relatives up in the Sioux as well. Shout out to them. Really appreciate the time to be here to chat. And for those listening, it's a great opportunity to find out not only about being under the canopy, but how you can be employed out under the canopy. Thanks, Chad.
Thanks very much for having me.
Back in 2016, Frank and I had a vision to amass the single largest database of muskie angling education material anywhere in the world.
Our dream was to harness the knowledge of this amazing community and share it with passionate anglers just like you.
Thus, the Ugly Pike podcast was born and quickly grew to become one of the top fishing podcasts in North America.
Step into the world of angling adventures and embrace the thrill of the catch with the Ugly Pike podcast. Join us on our quest to understand what makes us different as anglers and to uncover what it takes to go after the infamous fish of 10,000 casts.
The Ugly Pike podcast isn't just about fishing. It's about creating a tight-knit community of passionate anglers who share the same love for the sport. Through laughter, through camaraderie, and an unwavering spirit of adventure, this podcast will bring people together.
Subscribe now and never miss a moment of our angling adventures. Tight lines, everyone.
Find Ugly Pike now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.